Welcome once again to worship. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Well, our week here started off well on Tuesday. Lots of customers in the charity shop and in the cafe. But come Thursday, the weather turned bad and we had a thunderstorm and lots of rain for most of the day. When we arrived to open up, the sun was shining and it was quite hot. So we set up as usual with tables outside for the shop and the cafe. But within about 3/4 of an hour, the storm began. Of course, everything had to be covered over until we finally had a break in the rain and could get all the stock and tables back inside. Friday was back to sunshine again, but I think people were wary about coming out in case the rain started again. So a big thank you to Margaret, Caroline and Michael for helping again this week. And today, after we finish our worship, Caroline and Michael will be coming into membership, and so we pray for them both. Elsie is having a great time in South Africa, although I think the grandchildren are wearing her out. She is travelling this weekend, and so we pray for a safe trip to Nelspruit. I would ask you to pray for Dot, who has been ill and confined to bed all week. Wednesday is Katrina's birthday, so a great happy birthday to her. Well, now I'd like to invite you all to give the Lord your full attention as we praise and worship him, for now is the time to worship. Come, let us sing, "Come now is the time to worship." Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The psalmist writes in Psalm 105, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look, the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced." These words express the psalmist's delight in the presence of God. His life focuses on God's steadfast love. It's a call to all of us to focus on God's steadfast love. Indeed, to live lives of faith. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that you have called us here today to hear and receive your word, to be inspired, challenged and motivated and supported in the steps we take, whatever the journey, long or short, easy or not, we follow you in faith. And in the words of John Wesley, come Almighty to deliver, let us all thy grace receive, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy hosts above, pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Amen. Let's sing Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. So today we conclude our theme, Living Lives of Faith. This month we have already explored how we must use all the resources that God has provided each one of us to grow the kingdom of God, no matter how small or large those resources might be. And we've seen how so often this requires that we simply just step out in faith. We've also seen that in order to live lives of faith, we must have a clean heart. And last week we read in Paul's letter to the Romans, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it's just so vital that we all confess our faith, not just for our salvation, for our own salvation, but in order to grow the church. Having a faith is not as easy as it may sound. There are indeed many costs when we take up the cross and follow Jesus. So it's really important that we also recognise the rewards we have in this life for believing that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is our Lord and Saviour. And we're going to end our journey together through this month by unpacking just what are the costs and rewards of taking up the cross. Today we shall be once again hearing words from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. This letter, as I've said before, was written to Christians facing great hardship, and no doubt their faith was a bit wobbly as a result. Paul, who obviously knows them well, writes them with wonderful words of encouragement. He says, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, seeking the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affection, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." So Paul is reminding his readers that despite whatever is going on in their lives, they must have faith and so must live that faith. In our reading from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells his disciples what kind of king he will be. And they are shocked when he tells them that he will be one that suffers. And he tells them that they too will suffer if they follow him. But that is the only way to find the life they seek. It's the only way to live God's way. Today we're asked to face the scariness of letting Jesus take control of our lives. Alone it would be impossible, but with Jesus leading and our fellow Christians around us, we are encouraged to set out prepared to meet the dangers that being true to Jesus will involve. And of course, we will receive the rewards. So today, we'll be looking at the costs and rewards of taking up the cross. Sometimes as we go through this life, our faith is severely tested by events both personal to us and on the wider world stage. It's at such times when we might do well to remember the words of the prophet Isaiah. He writes, "Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." So, in the words of the worship song, we pray, "Lord, we come to you. Let our hearts be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that we find in you. Lord, we've come to know the weaknesses we see in us will be stripped away by the power of your love. So, Lord, hold us close. Let your love surround us. Bring us near. Draw us to your side. And as we wait, we'll rise up like the eagle. And we will soar with you. Your spirit leads us on by the power of your love. Amen." Let's sing, "Lord, I Come to You." as I said, sometimes as we go through this life, our faith is severely tested. And it's at such times that we're at most risk of losing our faith. It's at times when our faith is wobbly that we have to understand that everything depends only on God's steadfast love. It's also important to remember that other people may be going through a similar experience and are looking to us for support. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that you do not call us to do anything without also giving us the resources to cope. You don't ask us to go anywhere you haven't been. You call us to take up our cross, and we come to you with fear and trembling, but knowing that ultimately your way is the best. Be with us, Lord, and help us to understand. Lord, we acknowledge before you that we often can be so much like Simon Peter, hearing your word but going off on our own track, not wanting to see your path, especially if it looks rough. There are times, Lord, when we want the world, but we don't give much thought to our souls. Lord, we acknowledge before you that there are times when we are a stumbling block to others and to ourselves, times when we look for complications instead of just following you. Forgive us, Lord, and help us always to follow you. Lord, you invite us to take up your cross, to live your way, and to share your story. But we stand amazed in your presence, Lord. We wonder how you could love us, sinners, condemned, unclean. How marvellous, how wonderful is your love for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your forgiving love. Amen. Let's sing, "I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene."
Power, 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 power
pray. Lord, our Creator and Redeemer, we so often find it difficult to know how to pray to you when we see so much suffering throughout our world. Should we pray, Lord, for you to bring down retribution on the persecutors? Can we accuse you of letting us down when the world is still in pain? Yet, Lord, we hold on to your promise that evil will not prevail against us, that you will deliver us from the wicked and the ruthless. You call us, Lord, to turn to you, to be faithful and obedient, that your will may be done in our lives. So, Lord, help us to be the answer to our own prayers, to make a difference where we are, with the people you give us to share life with. May we hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Help us to rejoice in hope, to be patient in suffering, to persevere in prayer. Lead us, Lord, into opportunities to contribute to the needs of others, to extend hospitality to strangers, and to live in harmony with one another. Lord, we pray for all those killed and injured in the flooding in the Nepal-Tibet border, for those who are still missing, for friends and families waiting for news, for rescue workers as they search for survivors, for medics as they treat those pulled from the wreckage. Lord, may all affected by the floods know your presence with them and be given the courage to go on with their lives. Lord, we continue to pray for those places where violence is ongoing and lives are being lost every day. We pray especially for the conflict between Ukraine and Russia. We pray especially for children traumatized, injured and bereaved in these situations. And Lord, we earnestly pray for the ongoing negotiations between USA and Iran, and for all who are losing hope that they will live long enough to see peace. We pray for wisdom to prevail among the leaders of the nations. And Lord, we just pray that Russia doesn't extend its war into other NATO countries, including the UK. We think of people closer to home who are suffering in many ways. Especially remember those communities where there's been tragedy on the roads and at sea. We pray for all those who are working for the benefit of others, that they may find protection and courage to stand up for those with no voice of their own. Lord, we give thanks for the advances in technology that bring the world closer together. But we pray against its misuse and the opportunities it affords to collude with all that is destructive and wrong. We pray for those tempted to commit crimes so they can boast and post online, for those who seek out the lonely and the vulnerable and exploit them, for those who manage the dark web and use anonymity to hide their crimes. Lord, may all the victims of online abuse know your presence with them and be given the courage to go on. Lord, we pray for those preparing to go to university for the first time, for those going to new schools and colleges, for teachers, lecturers and all in education as they prepare for a new academic year. And Lord, we pray for those excluded from school and for those who find school overwhelming. Pray for all those unable to find work, for all those who are too unwell to work, and all those who feel rejected by society that they feel doesn't have a place for them. Lord, may they all know your presence with them and be given the courage to go on. And Lord, we pray for people who find it hard to forgive those who've caused their pain. Lord, so many issues, so many people looking to blame someone. Lord, help us to demonstrate in our own lives that forgiveness brings healing, that the words, "I'm sorry," can close an open wound. By the power of your Holy Spirit, help us in our lives not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. And Lord, we hold before you in love and prayer our needs and the needs of those who are ill or suffering at this time, and for all who care for their loved ones. In a moment of quiet, we bring to you those known to us. Lord, we continue to pray for Elsie as she visits her family and friends in South Africa. Lord, speak refreshment, assurance and warmth over lives afflicted by exhaustion and illness. Speak calm, gentleness and comfort over lives broken by grief and loss. Speak power, anointing and healing over each one of us, and give us all the courage to take up your cross, to live your way and to share your story. And Lord, as you taught us, so we pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Well, you know, it's just so easy to become overwhelmed by what's going on around us. Sometimes we just can't see an end in sight. At such times we need to remember that we can trust God. Yes, there are costs when we follow Jesus, but the rewards are simply out of this world. So our prayer should always be, Lord, I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. Let's sing, The Lord's My Shepherd.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you. And I will trust in you. Trust in you. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me. My ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his trust in you, for your
how we pause once again to make our offering to the Lord. Once again this week, despite the weather, we've been blessed with so many people engaging with our community outreach through the cafe and the charity shop. So once again, we thank the Lord for a provision to enable us to continue with the work he has led us to do. And once again, I thank those of you who are tithing your time by the help you give in helping to run our community outreach. It's a lot of time and commitment, and so thank you. Let us pray. Lord, bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make, as we all use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. For, Lord, we want to see Jesus lifted high, that all might see the truth and know that he is the way to heaven. Amen. So let's sing, "We Want to See Jesus Lifted High." So before we hear this week's gospel reading, I just want to mention the gospel reading from last week. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." So, after Peter's proclamation, "You are the Messiah," Jesus blessed and affirmed him. But in this week's reading, which follows on from that passage, we find Peter confronted by the fate that awaits Jesus, and he's not a happy man. At this point in the Gospel, Jesus begins his journey to Jerusalem, where he is to face a crisis. Jesus will find himself in conflict with the political and religious leaders, which leads, of course, to his execution. But as we know, then his resurrection will reveal the limits of their power against God's. Let's hear now from Matthew's Gospel.
The reading is from Matthew 16, verses 21 to 28. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, Jesus doesn't mince his words, does he? He says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." He calls him a stumbling block, hindering Jesus' purpose. He tells Peter that he's not in touch with God's will. Peter must have been devastated. All of this is in stark contrast to what Jesus said to Peter in the earlier verses. "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." So what's going on? Matthew suggests that Peter doesn't hear the promise of resurrection, but only the prophecy of Jesus' death. And naturally, he rejects this very strongly. Peter actually tries to control Jesus and change what in his eyes is sometimes something totally unacceptable, the death of Jesus. You know, we're all guilty of not being in touch with God's will. By and large, we see what we want to see. We believe what we want to believe. That's why the world is in such a mess. It's the same problem that the Apostle Paul faced with the infant church. In his letter to the church in Rome, Paul is teaching about the Christian lifestyle. He is setting out what is God's will for his people. And so on the one hand, in Matthew's Gospel, we have Jesus spelling out the cost of discipleship. And on the other hand, we have Paul spelling out the benefits. So let's hear once again from Paul's letter to the Romans. We'll now move on to chapter 12.
The reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody, if it is possible, and as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So here we have Paul continuing his teaching on the Christian lifestyle. Once again, he first focuses on love. Well, actually, the word used is agape. That's the word used to describe God's relationship with humanity. And of course, that's the strongest definition of love. God's love is for us is stronger than any human love. You know, as Christians, we can share this godly way of life, this agape, but we must be prepared to face its demands, which basically means rejecting all evil and holding on to what is good. Paul explores what this means for the church members. Love depends on a close relationship with God through the Spirit. On this basis, brothers and sisters in Christ can live in authentic Christian community, respecting one another and responding to each other's needs. Then Paul's teaching widens to include those beyond the church, especially those who may be hostile. How are Christians to respond to them? Well, the core requirement is for a relationship characterized by love, recognizing the good in everyone and praising God for it. This is the basis of the whole direction of Jesus' life. Jesus didn't just teach about living God's way. He actually did it. His whole approach is about working for the creation of peace, honour and respect in all our relationships. It's about overcoming evil with good. You know, as humans, beings, we're always so quick to blame someone else when things go wrong for us. Okay, so maybe there are times and situations when we're right. Maybe it was someone else's fault. However, the worst case is when people blame God when things go badly wrong. How often do we hear, "Oh, why did God let this happen?" It's a common cry when someone close to us dies, especially if the person is not really very old, or when it happens out of the blue. Well, the truth is, as I said before, we're all going to die. The big question is, are we prepared for death, whenever it might be? In other words, have we made peace with God? Because only then will we inherit eternal life, which is why it's just so important for people to come to faith. Only you and the Lord know the true answer to that question. Nobody else can second guess where you stand with your faith. Of course, nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to be close to them to die. Just remember how upset Peter was when Jesus told the disciples that he was going to die. And what was even more scary for the disciples is that they could guess what kind of death awaited him. They knew that the cross was the means of execution for non-citizen inhabitants of the Roman Empire when they became rebellious. Perhaps they were even more disturbed by Jesus' requirement that his followers themselves take up the cross. And of course, that's a bit scary for us also. But what Jesus is trying to get across to the disciples, and indeed to us, is that taking up the cross is a way of saying that we must live out our lives as God created us to do. We must live God's way, not ours. To do this is to turn away from the pursuit of power and from the pursuit of money. Instead, Jesus' followers must recognize that the world is God's and that the only way to gain it is to share in God's purpose, resisting exploitation of others and living generously. Yes, this is costly. We may have to forego many of the pleasures we see other people enjoying, and we will have to accept that trusting God for the present and the future may still bring pain and grief to us. Our earthly life really is about going through one loss after another, indeed, one crisis after another. We have to learn to accept that fact, because when you know what to expect, you're going to be able better to recover from a crisis. But there is, behind all this, good news. For while there is a cost in taking up the cross and becoming a Christian, there are also many rewards. Of course, the biggest and best is that we will inherit eternal life. But as I've said before, it really is difficult to go through this earthly life, trust it in something that we can't see, that we have no evidence of. It's not like we can compare notes with those who've already inherited the kingdom. We have to take everything on trust, and we call that trust faith. Faith is about being able to hold on to the image of a glorious future. But you know, eternal life is just the icing on the cake, so to speak. There are just so many other rewards. So what are the main rewards of our faith? Well, let's start with peace. You know, I'm absolutely sure that one thing everybody wants is peace, especially peace of mind. And while you might argue that it's impossible to experience total peace of mind, I would argue the opposite. We can have peace of mind at all times if we have the confidence to trust God in every situation we encounter. I suppose as we get older and have many different experiences in life, we appreciate this more. I know that I've been through some pretty difficult situations in my life. But it wasn't until I had my true conversion experience that I realised that even in the worst situations, you can still have peace of mind. For me, that started when I realised that what God was saying to me was simply, trust me. Okay, I have still had many times when that peace was hard to find, but I've always found it. And you can too by trusting God. So peace of mind. Then there's joy. Peace of mind brings joy. It's incredible, but it's true. Remember the words of Isaiah. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And I would add, they will be joyful. So, there's joy. And much of that joy, you know, comes through forgiveness. I'm not just talking about knowing that God forgives us, but actually forgiving someone else. Forgiveness is a super reward, both in terms of being forgiven ourselves and in being able to forgive others. You know, forgiving someone who has wronged us doesn't mean that we're saying that the wrong never happened or that they are not guilty. But it does mean that we can put the situation behind us and move on. If we don't forgive, then the situation will continue to haunt us, and it's just not healthy. And final thing I would say about the reward of taking up the cross is that we have the assurance that we are loved no matter what. We all need to be loved. In fact, one of the things that the Apostle Paul said was, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Paul knew just how important it was to feel loved. He makes it a requirement of being a true Christian. But the most important thing to remember is that we are all loved by God. If you can really get this into your mindset, then no matter what's going on in your life, you will have that wonderful assurance that you are loved no matter what. The upsides of our faith, the peace, the joy, the forgiveness, the assurance that we are loved no matter what. Surely these are worth the sacrifices we have to make when we take up the cross and follow Jesus. My dear friends, all this is possible, and all this is ours for the asking, if we're prepared to take up the cross and follow the Master. Whatever might befall us on the way, remember the words of Paul. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. In other words, live God's way. And all will be well, both now and for eternity. So follow the path on which our captain trod, our King victorious, Christ the Son of God. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. Amen. Let's sing, Lift High the Cross. Let us pray. So now, Lord, we go our separate ways as we lift high the cross, as we proclaim our love of you, Lord, and we go knowing that wherever we go, you are there, guiding and protecting us. We go now in love, in peace, with joy, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, to love and serve you, Lord, and your people. And we go with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.